that we began to explore yesterday in the world of Kinyanim. One discussion is, what Maisa Kinyan do you use on any given type of item? But another discussion is, what items lend themselves to Kinyan at all? What items lend themselves to Kinyan at all? We began to discuss yesterday, by way of introduction to a key concept, the fact that a general principle in the world of Kinyanim is there are things that just are not nitfas, that's nun, saf, pei, samach, and not nitfas in Kinyan. There are certain things that Kinyan cannot be tofus. I cannot, there's no chalos Kinyan on the color blue, there's no chalos Kinyan on brotherhood. How far that goes in abstractions, that abstractions are nitfas and Kinyan, how far do you push that? That's a big machlokas, tanaim and amaram. As you mentioned, Gemara Yevamos Tzadikim was a long, long list of tanaim and amaram, a long shalshalas hamasorah, it sounds like, throughout various generations. There were tanaim and amaram who believed that a davar shalo bal la'olam is nitfas in Kinyan. Most famously, Rabbi Meir, Rav Huna, and others, there was a miut of Tanam Namram who said that Adam makne davar shalo balalam. A miut of Tanam who said that if I am a pear farmer and I own 100 acres of pear trees, so Rav Meir held that I can sell this coming summer's pears to Akiva. Peiros deka. Most Tanaim and Amaram disagree. Chacham say no. Ain adam machet davar shalo le'olam. I cannot sell Peiros Dekel to Akiva. Aye. So what's the solution? Lamaisa, Akiva wants to invest in his coming summer's pear crop. He thinks, based on the old farmer's almanac, poor farmer's almanac, poor Richard, whatever it is, based on his almanac reading, Akiva is convinced that this coming summer is going to be a bumper crop for pears. Or Akiva is convinced, based on his reading of the trends in food fashion, that pears are going to be all the rage this coming summer, and if he corners a market on pears, he's going to make a killing. Whatever it is. Lamaisa, Akiva doesn't want to buy my farm. He just wants to buy this coming summer's pear crop. So how do you do it? If you're like a mayor, you can sell davar shalo bal la'olam, especially since it is avidi da'asu. It's something you expect to come. The pears don't exist yet. That's fine. We said yesterday by the Chachamim. What's the solution? According to the Chachamim, how does Akiva buy my pear crop for this coming summer?
The rights to the fruit of
the Givaldik. The idea of Dekel Leperosa. Let's talk a drop about the pedigree, where the idea comes from, let's understand what it means, because it's going to be pretty central coming back to our sugya. We saw that the Gemara discusses this idea. We saw the Rambam explicitly talks about this. Mechira perichav beis, he paskins ein adam makna davar shalo bali olam. And then in Mechira perichav gimel, the Rambam says, but you can sell deka leperosa. I cannot sell you the fruits, the pears, they don't exist yet in the winter, they don't exist yet in the early spring, but I can sell you a tangible asset. What is a davar shokvar baliol? I'm the tree. But you don't want to buy the whole tree. Don't worry, I'll only sell you the tree with respect to the fruit. Dekel leperosa. The dekel is a davar shokvar. Make a kinyan on the dekel, but only for the fruit. Well, where does that even come from and what does it mean? So number one, the nusach, the language, the term, dekel leperosav, just for you to know, that terminology appears in Ksubas Daf Ayin Tes Amid Beis in a somewhat different context. Ksubas Ayin Tes Amid Beis. And we saw the nusach in our context, in Tosfos and Gittin. The Beis and Beis already talks about dekel leperosav. The Gemara in Gittin, talks about Eved L'Knas. Signing the Eved with respect to the Knas. And you remember that the Gemara on the top of Memgim Amalav in Masechet Gittin, our Masechet, had said, this is better than Davar Shalabal Yolam. Why? Because the Eved already exists. I'm not selling you the Knas. I'm saying the Eved with respect to the Knas. Hakoy Eved. The Eved is already here. The Eved is Omed. Kayam vi Omed. That's a Davar Shekavar Ba'alim. So that's the basis for this idea that Deka Lepeirosav is not Davar Shel Ba'alim. A Deka Lepeirosav can work even according to the Chachamim, to Rabbi Meir. So that's the Gemara in Ar Masechta. Top of Mem Gimel Abed Aleph. Appears above a Basra Kuf Mem Zayin. And again, the Nusuch of Deka Lepeirosav is the Beferish Gemara in Ksubas Ayin Tes and Tosos in Gittin Mem Beis. So that's the yichus of that idea. The yichus of the idea. That's the Makaros, for the terminology and the concept Deka Lepeirosav, and that specifically it's a solution to the problem of Davar Shel Ba'alim. But what does it mean? What does it mean? Yeah, I'm selling you. This is words. I'm selling you the. I want to sell you the crop. The crop doesn't yet exist. Well, I'll sell you the tree. Look out of the crop. What does that mean? But I don't own the tree. Akiva was very clear. He does not want to become a pear farmer. He just wants to own pears. He wants neither the rights nor the responsibilities of owning the land, of owning the trees. So what does this mean? The way Rav Shechter usually explains it is that if you think about bailus analytically, if you think about analytically what it means to own something, there are different aspects, lakula and lachumra, of owning something. So let's say, for instance, so if I own something, I have the right to use it. Okay, and I have the right to bar anyone else from using it. So I have zchus l'shtamshus if I own it, and I have the right to limit other people's l'shtamshus. If I own something, it means I have the capacity to sell it, or to be mafkir it, or to be machdish. Ein on a mak the davar sheino shelo, ein on a mak mafkir davar sheino shelo, ein on a machdish davar sheino shelo. Those are all aspects, the ability to be machdish in a way, in any of those ways, those are all aspects, more aspects of ownership. What else does ownership include? Responsibilities. For instance, if I own something and it is mazik you, I have to pay. If I own a dog and my dog bites you, so I own a shar, my shar is mazik you, Karen, Shane, Rego, I have to pay. If I own an inanimate object and it's mazik you, often I have to pay also. That's Aish and Bar. That's the opening topic in all of the Sefer Nezikin. Is that the Jews have their responsibility for their property. Your property is an asset, but it's also a liability. If your property is mazik someone else, you're sometimes, again, subject to all the rules and regulations of Bava Kama, you're going to bear responsibility for the damage that your property does. That's another aspect of ownership. Another aspect of ownership is if someone is mazik your property, he has to pay you. That's a zchus. If your property is nizak, you get paid. If someone steals your property, he has to pay you back, and if he's a ganav, he has to pay you kefil. Why? Because you're the owner. These are all aspects of owning something. Another aspect of owning something, specifically an eved, where he said, if I own an item and it gets stolen by a ganav, and he gets caught by Adam and Bezdin, he not only does he pay you back, he pays you kefil. If someone else's shar, Rachman al-Tzlan, kills someone's Eved Kanani, so that the Baal HaShar has to pay the Baal HaEved, Shloshim Shekel Shel Eved. That Knas, receiving the ability, the right to receive that Knas, is another aspect of ownership, specifically ownership of an Eved. That's what the Gemara is talking about in Gittin Mem Beis and Mem Gimel. Mocher Eved L'Knas means that when Reuven owns Chaim the Eved Kanani, so that means a lot of things. There are many aspects to Reuven's ownership of Chaim. Let's say Chaim the Eved Kanani is a very capable lawyer. So if Reuven owns Chaim the Eved Kanani, so that means that his ownership includes the fact that Chaim has to do legal work for Reuven for free. It includes the fact that if Reuven wants, he can contract Chaim now to do legal work for other people, and they have to pay Reuven, because Reuven owns Chaim's Maisa and Chaim. It also means that Reuven is Mukhiv to support Chaim. He has to pay for Chaim's Reuven board, because Chaim is his Eved. And it means that Rachman Litzlan, something happens to Chaim, there's going to be a payment of Shoshim Shakashal Eved to Reuven. Those are all aspects of Reuven's bialus of Chaim. So Reuven, what the Gemara is saying, is that Reuven can sell ownership in Chaim fully or partially. I can sell you one aspect of ownership. I'm not going to, Shimon doesn't want to buy Reuven's rights to Chaim's Maisa Yadayim. Reuven doesn't want to buy Shimon's responsibility to fund and support Chaim. Shimon only wants to buy one aspect of violence, which is that in case Rachman Litzlan, something happens to Chaim, the Shloshim Shaka Shlevet should go to Shimon, the owner, instead of Reuven, the owner. So he's buying one aspect of violence in Chaim. To unpack that a little bit more, we're familiar with the notion of partial ownership, but we usually think about it in a quantitative, numbers way, instead of a qualitative way. What do I mean? We're very familiar with a partnership, right? We'll each put in money, and right, we'll put money into business, and I'll own a 20% stake, a 3% stake, an 80% stake in a business. That's a little abstract. Let's even talk more practically. Two guys, there were two guys a couple years younger than me in yeshiva when they were bachim, but now bachim, they're both married, settled. At the time, they were both single guys in the dorm here. And having a car in the Heights has advantages and disadvantages. It can be sometimes be useful, but also you have to park it. Which sometimes you spend more time looking for parking than you spend driving. So there are two guys who decide to go to buy a car b'shutfas. They bought a jalopy b'shutfas. Each one put in some money. And one of them used it during the week. Another one used it on the weekends. Just based on each one's schedule, one of them needed it after during the week but didn't need it in the weekend. And the other one needed it to go places for Shabbos but had no use for a car during the week. So they were shutfim. So, but they had the same type of ownership, more or less, in the car. If you want, you can think of it like a 5-to-2 ratio. It's very little bit qualitative. Like, I own it, you know, with respect to using it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You own it with respect to Friday, Matzah, Shabbos, Sunday. But basically, in other words, if we go 50-50 or 80-20 in buying something, in owning something, so that's a quantitative shutfas. I own 80%. I own 3%. Here, what the Gemara is being mechadesh is you could also have a shutfas. I can have a partial ownership that's not a quantitative, like I'll take one slice of the pizza, you take the other 7 slices, but instead we'll slice it horizontally. I get the dough and you get the cheese. I get the different aspects of what it means to own the item. So Reuven will still own the Eved, certain aspects of ownership of the Eved, but now Shimon has one aspect. Reuven owns the Eved L'gabe Ma'isi Yadayim. Shimon owns the Eved L'gabe Shalashim Shekel, the Knas for Shalashim Shekel. We can see that's because you can think about Bailus as being various items. What's Deka L'Peirosa? So there's an idea. One of the aspects, one of the fundamental aspects of ownership, specifically of a productive asset, is that if my asset appreciates or produces, I automatically own the added value. If I buy a house, a fellow buys a house for $500,000, and then the market goes through the roof, and now the house is worth it. Same house, nothing changed, but now the house is selling for $1 million. Who owns the extra $500,000 of value? The owner of the house. How is he kona it? What kinyan did he do? Nothing. If I own it. Or let's give another example. And not just appreciation, but let's say growth. I own a blueberry bush. Gewaltig. I buy a blueberry bush in the winter. It's covered with snow. Come summertime, and suddenly it's covered with blueberries. Who owns those blueberries? Me. By what kinyan? It's not chotzer. It's not that I did a kinyan chatzer. No. If I own a blueberry bush, so that if the blueberry bush produces, part of owning a blueberry bush is that I own the shevach. That's the concept. I don't know if the Gemara has it anywhere. I was looking. But certainly Rashi, in the concept is definitely discussed. The idea is discussed in several places. Rashi in Bava Metzia, Yadal and Beit Tzavav and Alv, has the nusach that Rashi likes to quote, Aroi Ashvach, Aroi, my eretz, Ara, is Aramaic for Eretz. Oftentimes it's Sadi in Hebrew will pop up as an ayin. Ara is Eretz. So the Nusach is Aroi Ashbach. My land was Mashbiach. My land became worth more, either because it appreciated, just that market value went up, or because it grew. A pear grew. So why? How do I own the pear? Not by dint of a new kinyan of chatzar or something. Let's say I own the tree, but I don't own the land. You could do that. I own a tree on your land. So who owns the pear? Not the Baal HaKarka, the Baal HaTree. Why? Well, what kinyan chatzar do you have? No, I don't need a kinyan. If I own the tree, Mimela, part of owning the tree is that one aspect of Baalus is Arai Ashbach. If my tree is worth more, my tree produced, I Mimela own that as an outgrowth, no pun intended, of my Baalus on the tree. Just like if I have a rubber band and I stretch it, obviously, even though it used to be, an inch and a half, and now it's 2.5 inches, obviously, I automatically own everything. Even if it's in your property, you don't say you get a kinyan chatzar. It's the same rubber band. That's obvious. It's less obvious, but still true, that one aspect of bialus is aroi ashva. So I can sell what I'm doing with Akiva. The deal I'm doing with Akiva is that I'm selling him a slice of ownership in my tree. Which slice? Not quantitatively, we're going to be partners 80-20. The slice is, I'll sell him that aspect of ownership of Aroy Ashmo, even part of it. He doesn't want to buy the pears, the olam vod. He just wants to buy this coming summer's crop. He wants to buy the summer 2023 crop. So I'll sell him that piece of Aroy Ashmo. I'll sell him the Aroy Ashmo for the coming 8 months. That's what I'm selling to. So that's this idea of Dekel Leperosa. Again, it originally comes up as a solution to the problem of Davar Shabbat Olam, but it speaks to a way of thinking about bios in a more analytic way, and that I can sell you shutfus in my assets, not only quantitative shutfus, but even a qualitative shutfus. Yeah, question.
Even though Davar Shalom Bala Olam still acquiring it.
No, so that's why. Again, so how is it a... Let's come back. So now that you realize that part of owning a tree means many things. Owning a tree means if the tree falls down, I may have to pay for the damage that it caused. Okay? And owning a tree means if someone is mazik my tree, someone comes with a chainsaw and attacks my tree, they have to pay. I have the right to be paid for that hazik. Owning a tree also means that if my tree produces, I own the production. So I can sell you, I can sell Akiva, only that, I'm selling the tree itself. I'm not selling him the pears. The pears are going to grow in the summer, but the tree is here now, right here. Here's the tree. I'm going to sell you a chaluk in the tree. I'm selling the tree fully, I'm selling the tree partially. In what sense partially? Not dividing it quantitatively, I'll give not that I'm selling you 5% stake in a tree, but rather I'm selling you one aspect, one slice of the tree. I'm selling you the Aroy Ashbach aspect of ownership of the tree. So that's Deka Leperosa. I sold you the tree. The tree is a Davar Shabbat Olam. The tree is Nitpas and Kinyan. I didn't sell you the tree fully, I sold the tree partially. Oh. And now, why is this important? It's important for many reasons. It's important to know for many reasons that some things are not nitpas and kinyan. It's important to know for many reasons that Davar Shabbat Olam is a machlokas hatam amram, what's nitpas and kinyan not. And to know that David also is a big piece of that conversation. And it's important to know for many reasons that bialus can be thought of in this analytic fashion, and that one afkamina in the analytic approach to bialus is that you can think about Dekel HaPeirosav and Eved HaKnas. And in addition to being important all over Shas, it comes back here. Because what is Shibu Nechassim? So the Nesivis had said, we had seen the Nesivis said, it's a kinyan. Shibu is a kinyan. Okay? The question is, it's a kinyan. If Elisha sells me his house, he cannot then turn around and sell the same house a day later to Tzvi. And if he did, that's just Geneva. The Tzvi doesn't own anything. As a matter of fact, there's actually one of the discussions on Bav Metzia Yudal Leveis, the Roy Ashbach, is exactly that. Let's say a fraud, a fake, a phony, sells his assets first to Reuven and then he sells it to Shimon. So what's Shimon's recourse? Shimon thought he was buying the Brooklyn Bridge, but turns out the guy no longer owns the Brooklyn Bridge. So now what? What's going to happen now? And let's say Shimon already moved in and he had done work on it. And then it turns out it's not his. How do you figure out who's paying what to? Okay. So the question is, what do you mean? So if Sheba is a Kenyan, so I own Elisha's house. So what do you mean? So here, the Tzvi doesn't own Elisha's house at all. That's not true. If Elisha owes me money, and I have a Sheba Nechastim on his karka, he could still legitimately sell his karka to other people. Other people will live in it. Other people will farm it. Other people will develop it. That's fine. If and when Elisha defaults on his loan to me, then I'm going to go and seize the karka. If Elisha pays his loan on time, Tzvi will, the Kufas will never know that there was a Sheba. I mean, hopefully he knew, but it'll never matter. So what do you mean? It's a Kenyan. So, and it's not just the Nesivos, it's the Rambam. Where is the Rambam? I believe the Rambam says it, probably in many places, but I came across it in one place. You have in front of you, Malva Veloda, Perek Yud Ches. The Perek Yud Ches Halacha Aleph, we looked at back on Sunday in the Netherlands. Perek Yud Ches Halacha Aleph is where he lays out sort of a basic description of what it looks like to be Golda from Shibud Al-Gufer to Shibud Al-Chasim. And Halacha Beis, Malva Veloda, Perek Yud Ches Halacha Beis, he goes on to say, generally, Sheba Nechasim is only on Karka. It's not a Matalsim. However, says Rabbi Melachabez, if you want to, you could specify in the Sharchov that you're including the Matalsim as well. And how does that work? If you look at his Nusach, he says, you're being Machne, the Matalsim, Agav, the Karka. And he says it several times, that it's a Kinyan. So it's not just Nesivus, it's already the Rabbi. The question is, what do you mean, Kenyan? Kenyan, but then the guy goes and sells to someone else. So the answer is, Ritva, that Rav Shech does want to quote, I'm not sure if the Rav quoted in, it seems like the Rav quoted in the Shiurim. I think at one point he footnotes to look at the Rav Shiurim and Kedushin Yigilim Beis. So it sounds like the Rav maybe had already, I did not look up the notes, see. It could be the Rav already references Ritva. That Ritva you have in the Ramah Kamas also, Kedushin Yigilim Beis, he says, well, Shibur is a kinyan lachatzoy. It's a kinyan, it's a partial kinyan. And part of the goof of the discussion whether Shibur the Raisa or the Raisa, you read that piece of Ritva and the next piece of Ritva, what he seems to say is, the question is there such a kinyan lachatzoy or not? Say Shibur the Raisa. He says, if you hold Shibur the Raisa, it means Einat hakna lachatzoy. There's no such hakna halfway, and Shibud would be a kinyan lachatzon. But midrabanan, they created a Shibud, a takana drabanan. And then he says in the next piece, or maybe not, or maybe there could be such a hakna. There could be such a hakna. What does this mean? Safi Pash is what it means. This way Shach usually presents it is. And Shibud is like a dekel peirosav. I'm selling you the karka with respect to Gevira. You have partial ownership of the karka with respect to satisfaction of obligations. So it's not. So we discussed this during Seder. You cannot just say that it's a kinyat chal achar zman, a kinyat al tanai, if and when Elisha, I'm buying Elisha's land. But only to be chal if and when he defaults on his loan, that's no good. Because then he's going to default on his loan in 10 years from now. But earlier than that, only 5 years from now, he's going to sell the land to Tzvi. So Tzvi is going to be the first owner. I'm cut out. The whole chap, the way these Rishon Acharon are talking about Shibud, is that the reason why I have the right to take the land from Tzvi, that was our central question. Why does this make any sense? The answer is because I bought it first. What do you mean I bought it first? But he bought it. He's been using it. That was legitimate. So it can't be that I made a kinyan now, but it's only chal at the time of default. Then I'm the second buyer. No, it has to be I bought it now. So Devil Peirosev is not only a solution to a problem of Davar Shavoli Olam, it's also a solution to the problem of managing the timing of the kinyanim of the Malva and the Lekuchos. And here's the answer. The Malva did buy first. When I make a loan to Elisha, I just took ownership of his land. Now, B'shas Halva, anyone who buys the land later is the second buyer. Is it illegitimate? No, because I didn't buy the land fully. I bought a king of Chatzan, like a dekel of Perusam. I bought his karka legabe gevia, not legabe anything else. But I took ownership presently, a partial ownership presently in this karka. As with Eved Leknas, it's an ownership that Shimon buys Chaim, the Eved Kanani, from Reuven. Leknas, see, he buys him right now. He immediately took a stake, a slice in the ownership of the asset, the equity in Chaim de Eved Kanani. It's not going to express itself right away. Dekel of pear himself also. Akiva immediately owns my 100 acres of pear trees partially, but it's not going to express itself until the summertime. But his ownership began now. There's no nafkamina yet. Eved leknas, or I buy something only gabe kefal. If the ass said, you own a red sports car, so right now, whatever, there was a time when, you know, apparently the police, criminologists study fads in car theft. At different times, at different types of cars that are very hot, and they're ganavim, criminals are interested in dafkin certain types of cars for parts, whatever it is. So a guy says, I know that your car, my next door neighbor, I see, ooh, he has one of those cars like to get stolen. I have a car very hot. I don't need another car. I have a car, it works, it gets me to work and back. I don't need your car. But I want an investment. I'm going to invest it. Since I know your car is the type that's more likely to be stolen, I'll buy the car legabe knas. And if the car get stolen, and they find the guy, and he comes back, pays kefal, I'll get the kefal. Right? That's like Eved leknas. So I took ownership right away, but it's only going to express itself at some future date, and it may never express itself. Eved leknas, most likely that will live a long, healthy life. He'll pass away to save a tova. He'll never be attacked by any animal, and there will never be a shloshim shakash l'eved. The next door neighbor's car in the driveway, hopefully it'll never be stolen. If it's never stolen, or the ganavim never caught, there's never payment of kefal, I don't get anything for it. But I took a stake right now in your car, in your Eved Kanani, in your 100 acres of pear trees, a stake that may or may not express itself in the future. So that's what Shibud is also. It's a dekel peirosev. I take ownership of your karka with respect to Gevias Chovos. Is that before I take outside questions, is that a concept clear? So this is where all this Rekha now comes together. Once I get my key in the world of Kinyanim, so now I can appreciate what the Nesivas Rit for the Rambam are saying. And all of this, remember we had said earlier in the week, we have two major kashas. One is a Kalistik Akasha, one is a Pratistik Akasha. The big Kalistik Akasha is, what on earth is Shibud Nechasim? I mean, you described it, but we need to explain. Tzarech Bir, how could it be? So now we begin to understand that I did have a kinyan right away, and maybe if Gevia ever comes up, I'm the first owner, and the Lekuchos is the second owner. It turns out that my rights proceed, and therefore he has to leave. But at the same time, my ownership is I'm the prior buyer, but only in a initially very narrow sense. So that's why it is legitimate for Elisha the Loba to proceed to sell his land, again, in a non-fraudulent way. He's open with the buyer that there is a lien. I plan to pay that, but there is some risk. Shut. And now, we'll take more. I'm glad to take questions after us. And now, Rabbi Osai, what's the one point that remains? So now I understand. Shibud is a kinyan. Who was Kona what from whom? The Malva was Kona, the Lova's Karkos, from the Lova, right? When did that kinyan occur? At the time of the Halva, right? It's only chapa nafkamina later b'shas gevia if and when the loan comes due months or years later, if and when the lova defaults and can't pay with shibud aguf with his own assets. But the kinyan already occurred b'shas halva. So I know what the davar nikna was, the karkos of the lova. The makna is the lova. The kona is the malva. The shas kinyan is shas halva. What remains? Right. What ma'isa kinyan? But how did this kinyan happen? There are two ways to answer that. There are two possible kinyan. One possible kinyan Yes. The halva itself, I gave money. Kesef. Kesef. Kinyan kesef works on karka. So when I gave, when I handed over $1 million to Elisha as a loan, it was also a kinyan kesef on his karka. Okay. That's one possibility. There's another possible maisa kinyan. Because what else happened for Shal Salva? I gave Elisha cash, as every lokeach gives cash to a mocher and a sale of karka. What else happens at a normal sale of karka? The lokeach gives cash to the mocher gives a shtar to the lokeach. At a normal sale, it's a real outright sale. Let's say Elisha is moving. He's selling me his house. So I give him kesef and he gives me a shtar mechira, a shtar that says, either, and again, that discussion some other time, either one could be the kinyan. Either we could decide that the maisa kinyan is going to be the kesef, or the maisa kinyan is going to be the shtar. Other factors go into that. But either one is viable. You remember that Mishnah in Kiddushin, the end of the first paragraph, Chabav or so? The three major kinyan and karka are kesef, shtar, and chazaka. So that's the interesting question here. When you, instead of an outright full sale, if instead it's the partial kinyan of shibud, when I acquire a shibud nechasim on Elisha's karkos, what was the kinyan? Was it kesef? I lent the money. That money created the shibud. Or was it the shtar? He gave me a shtar chov, and the shtar chov not only is a raya that he owes me money, a certain amount, due at a certain time, but maybe it also is the shtar kinyan. It's the kinyan shtar of the karka. On the kinyan lachatzan on the karka. And now we understand Rashi. 2 days in Rashi, right? Whether when the Mishnah Peivav Amin Aleph, ayayayayayayay, this foundational Mishnah Peivav, you say it's the Mishnah. Shittus Rav Elazar in the Mishnayos, Peivav Amar Aleph, Eid and Asir Karsi. Again, is kosher even without chsimas. Tikkun Olam, we require Drabanan, Minig, whatever it is. You got to protect the woman. Make sure the get is chasim. Otherwise, she may be left later on with no proof that she's migrations. But fundamentally, the get is kosher even without chsimas, Eid and Asir Karsi. Ve govet, Rav Elazar had added, Minachasim Mishuman. Govet what? So Rashi, remember, had two lashonos. First lashon was, talking about the get itself. The get, azah get, could also drive gvias haksuba. The second lashon was, no, we're talking about much bigger fish to fry than that. We're not just talking about getting, we're talking about the vast majority of obligations that are tied to a shtar, is not the ksuba tied to the get, it's loans that are tied to shtar ichob. The second lashon in Rashi. And Tosfos, it should be noted, Tosfos Daf Chaf seems to assume that the first lashon in Rashi. Tosfos Daf Gimel, as we saw, embraces, Rabbi Yonatan embraces the second lashon in Rashi. What are they arguing about? They said, well, it sounds like the second lashon is willing to say that Shtar Chov is part of the world of Eidim Mesir Karsi, Eidim Chzim Karsi. The first lashon in Rashi is clearly avoiding that. Well, why? So we had said, well, the whole Machlekes Rabbeinu Meir is about Kinyan Shtar. But Shtar Chov, of course you understand the first Lashon. Shtar Chov is a Shtar Raya. But what does Shtar Chov have to do with Kinyan, with Eidim Mesir Karsi? Just a technical thing to have a call. The answer is no. The second Lashon in Rashi, which Unzer Toises, Gimel Veiz, embraces, holds that a Shtar Chov is both a Shtar Kinyan and whether min haTorah midrabanan, at least midrabanan, also it's not only shtar raya, but midrabanan also a shtar kinyan, because that's what creates the shibud. That's what creates the shibud. The shibud is created through the kinyan shtar. That's the machlokas, the two lashonos in Rashi. Is a shtar chov a shtar kinyan or not? The first lashon says no. Rav Elazar is only talking about get. Second lashon, yeah, shtar chov is also a shtar kinyan. Rav Elazar is talking about that too. Ah, you'll tell me. Well, In other words. Okay, we're done in a moment. I, you'll tell me, one second, so where does the sheep would come from? So let's retranslate that. The first sheet in Rashi holds that Shibud is not created by the Shtar Chov. Shibud is created by the Matan Maos. The Shtar Chov merely serves as a raya. The second Shita in Rashi, whom Tosas and Daf Gimel here embraces, holds no. The Shtar Chov is actually creating the Shibud. In other words, the two days in Rashi are arguing over whether the Kinyan, the Maisa Kinyan for the Shibud Nechasim, is it Kesef, first day in Rashi, in which case the Shtar Chov is only a Shtar Raya, or no, the Kinyan on the Shibud is Shtar, in which case Shtar Chov is not only a Shtar Raya, but a Shtar Kinyan as well. I know there are more questions. What we're going to wrap up with the mitzvah at the very beginning of tomorrow morning, because it looks like we have to leave, is bringing this back, and I assume what you're wondering about Shibud Daraisa and Lav Daraisa. We're going to fit that back. We'll put all the pieces together, Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow. But the basic sugya is now worked out.